Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. Take it and turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're going to look at the passage that Pastor Spencer read with a focus really on one English phrase and really one original word in the original language. So one English phrase and a Greek word that some of you may know, tetelestai, translated, "It is finished." So John 19 verse 30 is where our focus will be this evening. And so Jesus, as he hung on the cross, being pierced and nailed on the cross for the atonement of our sins, he said on that cross, "It is finished." See, throughout the Gospel of John, we see Jesus as the eternal Son of God, the Word made flesh, to tabernacle among us. And his mission throughout the Gospel of John, we see, is to bring light to darkness and life to those that are dead. And to this point in the Gospel of John, Jesus has faced growing opposition from the Pharisees, from the scribes, from the priests. They are threatened by his authority, threatened through his miracles, and especially threatened through his claims of divinity. And their hostility is building more and more throughout the Gospel of John, building steadily and then culminating in their demand for Jesus' death. And by the time we reach chapter 19 of the book of John, where Jesus hangs on the cross and says, "It is finished," we see that he's already been betrayed. He's already been arrested. He's already been falsely accused and beaten and scourged, handed over to Pilate to be sentenced by crucifixion, be sentenced to death. And so as we come to verse 30 of John 19, we really see what is the climax of the crucifixion, where Jesus declares that the work he came to do and the work that he set out to accomplish is finished. But make no mistake, as Jesus is hanging there, nailed to a cross, fully man, he is also fully God, and fully in control, fulfilling the scripture, even in his final moment. See, John emphasizes that Jesus is not a victim. Jesus is a sovereign Savior who willingly lays down his life for his people, fulfilling the Father's plan in all the Old Testament prophecy. So after he receives the sour wine, a fulfillment of Psalm 69 verse 21, Jesus declares, hanging on the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And he bows his head and gives up his spirit. So that word, tetelestai, it is actually a Greek verb coming from the root teleo. And that word means to bring to an end, to complete, to accomplish. And the form in which it is written in is in what we would call the perfect tense, which indicates for us an action, a completed action done in the past that carries on lasting results. Translated, "It is finished." And at first glance, When we see the words, "It is finished," it might seem like an admission of a dying man's defeat. But it is the farthest thing from that. It is a shout and a declaration of victory. When Jesus cries on the cross as he gives up his spirit and cries out, "Tetelestai," he wasn't just saying, "This is over." He is saying, "This, my work, my atonement has been fully accomplished and it stands forever." This was not the cry of someone overcome and defeated. "It is finished" was a triumphant declaration of someone who has fulfilled his mission. Jesus' death is not a tragedy spiraling out of control. It's the climax of a perfectly executed mission. What Jesus came to do, he completed it. And he said, "It is finished," as he prays to the Father in John 17. "I glorified you on earth, having finished the work you gave me to do." The cry of "It is finished" is not a cry of defeat. It is a cry of victory. Jesus completed the work he was sent to do. With one work, Jesus is expressing a victorious and final conclusion of why he came. But now the question is, as many of you know and as many of us will relearn tonight, what exactly was the work that he completed? He says it's finished and it's done. What Jesus came to do is finished. But what is it exactly Jesus finished on the cross? Why did Jesus come? He came to fulfill a mission. He was sent to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die for the sins of his people. Jesus came and died for his people, for their sins, because we, those that are his people, have committed acts against the righteous standard and a holy and just God. Every one of us stands guilty before God, utterly without excuse. This is why Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one that is righteous. As it is written, none are righteous. No, not one. No one understands and no one seeks after God." Jesus came to this earth to do a work. And the work he was sent to do was to die as a sacrifice and as a substitute for sinners. See, our sin is not a mistake. Our sin is a rebellion against a holy and just God, the God who made us. And the psalmist writes a haunting question in Psalm 130, verse 3. He says, "If you, O Lord, marked iniquities, who could stand?" And we know the answer of who could stand. That no one could stand. No one can stand before this God on the basis of their own righteousness. Not myself, not you. We have broken God's law. We have sinned. And because we have sinned, we cannot stand before God without being declared guilty. Our hearts are sinful. Our record is one of breaking God's law. And so now we face, as fallen men and women, a great dilemma. How can a holy and just God be reconciled to sinful people like us? And how can God remain just while at the same time pardoning those who rightly deserve his condemnation? How can God do that? If God marked iniquities, no one could stand. And God is just, and our sin deserves punishment. So how can a just God pardon us and yet remain just? In other words, how can God justify sinners and still remain holy? And this is what Jesus is accomplishing at the cross. Isaiah 53 says it actually pleased the Father to crush him, to pierce him. Because it is at the cross, the work that Jesus is doing is he's actually upholding God's justice while God is simultaneously showing us mercy. The cross is where mercy, grace, and love and justice meet, that Christ could die as a perfect substitute and as a perfect sacrifice, and God could rightly pour out the punishment we deserve on Jesus, and the payment would be made, the debt would be paid, and then therefore he would remain just. The justice of God, which demands payment and satisfaction for sin, is not compromised in Jesus. It's satisfied. And it's satisfied not by punishing us, but by actually Jesus offering himself in our place. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds, we are healed. So Jesus then dies as a perfect, just satisfaction for our sin. And when he dies, he can say it is finished because the work of atonement was complete. He's a substitute, a willing substitute to stand in our place as a sacrifice for sins. Full atonement, can it be? And so on the cross, and you'll hear this, and it's not that it's not true. Jesus suffered intense physical pain on the cross. He sweated drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was beaten and scourged and mocked and suffocated and crucified. And physically, yes, it was agonizing. Physically, it was brutal. But the physical torment, as horrifying as it was, is not the extent of his suffering at the cross. When Jesus cries out on the cross as the fulfillment of Psalm 22, verse 1, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was not merely expressing physical anguish, but it was in that moment Christ was suffering on the cross the full weight of the wrath of God in our place. The cup of God's wrath that we deserve to drink was poured out on him. He bore it all. He fully satisfied and placated the anger of God against our sin. 1 John 2:2 says he becomes a propitiation for our sin. He absorbs the wrath and carries our sin far away. See, Jesus did not just die as a religious example or moral example. He died as a substitute for sinners. He died because our sin deserves death. And he died to save us from the power of sin and death. 1 Peter 3:18 puts it plainly, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and being made alive in the spirit. That is what's happening at the cross, a great exchange and a great substitute, the righteous for the unrighteous and the godly for the ungodly. See, Jesus came and he died, and it is finished. And when he finished the work of atonement, dying in our place and absorbing the full wrath of God, he did not make salvation a vague possibility. He came to save his people from their sins. He finished it for you, so that your sins could be fully forgiven, that your soul be fully justified, that your status before God would be righteous. He came to seek and to save the lost. But then, to truly grasp all that Jesus was accomplishing, let's return to that word, tetelestai. Let's hold that word up like diamond in the light, turning it ever so slightly. And as you turn a diamond and the light goes through and dissipates through the diamond, you see the different brilliance and beauty of a diamond. We're going to turn that word for a moment and see the beauty of the word tetelestai. Let's examine it and see exactly what was being accomplished on the cross. See, that word tetelestai was actually used in three different contexts, in three different ways. First, it was used in a financial context. The term tetelestai was used in commerce and business to mark a bill when it's been paid in full. A legal debt paid. When someone paid off a debt, a certificate or a receipt would be issued. And you know what they would write across that receipt? Is they would write across it, tetelestai. If you owed a large debt and you paid off that debt, the receipt would return written across it, tetelestai. Proof that you owed nothing more. Like when I pay off my mortgage, that last payment, they better not send me another bill. I don't owe anything else. It's been paid in full. And when Jesus dies on the cross and he says tetelestai, it is as if Jesus stamped that word on our sin debt with a divine seal. Nothing left to pay. And no penalty left unpaid. No more wrath left for the unbeliever. There is no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. That your debt for your sin that you owe to God has been paid fully by Jesus Christ. Every single one. Every single sin has been paid. And paid in full. You don't owe anything. You don't owe a good work. You don't owe a tear. You don't owe a second of service to try to make up your sin debt. Because Jesus paid it all. And he wiped your debt clean. You were dead in your trespasses and God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt, Colossians 2. And how does he cancel the record of debt? By nailing it to the cross. And when he nails it on the cross, the receipt that we receive stained in the blood of Jesus says across it, tetelestai, paid in full. See, Jesus didn't make the salvation a possibility. He accomplished it. Our sins, past, present, and future, have been nailed to the cross, and you bear it no more. Fully and actually paid by Jesus. So when he cries out, tetelestai, he's announcing that the debt owed to God because of our sin has been fully paid and his justice forever satisfied for all that would believe. But tetelestai was not just used, as we turn the diamond a little more, was not just used in a commerce setting. It was actually used in a judicial setting as well. In the legal world, tetelestai would be actually used when a sentence of a criminal had been fully served. When a criminal had completed their punishment and the authorities said that he had paid what he owed, he served his sentence, indicating that justice has been fully satisfied. Not a partially served sentence, not an early release, not a commutation, but when someone committed a crime and they got a consequence and a punishment, they would serve the penalty. And when it was served once and for all, the judge would say, tetelestai, it's finished. And that individual could never be charged again for the same crime. We have a similar law, do we not? The double jeopardy law. Double jeopardy prevents someone from being tried again and again for the same offense. If you commit a crime and you've been found innocent and acquitted of that crime, they can actually never charge you for that same crime. It protects individuals from being emotionally and financially, the toil emotionally and financially of retrials, and it preserves the finality of criminal proceedings. You can't commit one crime and then be found innocent and get taken to trial over and over and over again, taking you back to trial for the same crime and for the same law breaking. Because once you're declared innocent, you're declared innocent forever of that crime. You cannot repeatedly try someone for the same crime, even with new evidence. So what has Christ done? He bore the curse of the law for us. The wrath and justice we deserve, he took on himself. He served the sentence we owed. And what was the sentence we owed for our crimes against God? Is death. And he paid it. And we've been declared innocent of all charges. We've been declared righteous. And we can never, as those in Christ by faith, never be put back in the docket to be charged with a sin that Jesus has paid for. Jesus has fully served the sentence. He took the penalty, and those charges for our sin can never be brought up against us. The sentence we owed has been served. And in every way that we have failed, Jesus has succeeded. His perfect righteousness and obedience credited to us, and he was punished and served the sentence for our crimes. God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And once you're declared innocent forever. The charges can't be brought back up again. So stop putting yourself back in the docket for crimes that Jesus has already paid for. See, that's what Romans 8 says. Who shall bring a charge against any of God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's to condemn me? Christ is the one who died and more than that, raised again. Satan's accusations are silenced. Satan in your flesh can't keep putting you on trial. Sin has no more dominion because our hope of pardon is not in me. Our hope of pardon is in the finished work of Christ. And I have been declared innocent of all my crimes against God. So he says, it's finished. I don't owe the sentence anymore. I don't owe the death anymore. So not only is tetelestai used in business and in the courtroom, but it's also used in a military context. It was a cry of victory. When the mission had been accomplished, when the battle had been won, the declaration would be made tetelestai. It was a triumphant shout signaling that the objective had been completed, victory secured, and the enemy defeated. Imagine a group of soldiers going out on a mission and the soldier radios back after they've gotten the enemy or taken the base and they say, tetelestai, the mission has been accomplished. And Jesus was sent by the Father, completed the mission of redemption. He rescued sinners and fulfilled the law. The full burden of rebellion, guilt, and shame was laid upon him. And the work that was finished was nothing less than the rescue of lost sinners. See, too many people act like the cross was a defeat. I've seen it all over Facebook even today, that the cross was the defeat and the resurrection was the victory. But it's actually at the cross where he crushes the serpent's head. It's at the cross where he says the mission has been accomplished. See, the cross is actually Christ's victory over sin and death. The resurrection is just God's vindication of the victory. It's just saying, I accept what Christ has done. And you know I accept what God is saying. You know I accept what Christ has done because I raised him from the dead. Christ wasn't a defeated person at the cross. He's actually the victorious Savior dying for sin. Once and for all, to provide full atonement, crushing sin and death in utter victory. That is what he's doing when he says it is finished. He's paid our debt, he served our sentence, and he won us the victory. And he says it is finished. So believers, remember, rejoice and rest in the finished work of Christ. Jesus didn't say, on the cross, finish what I started. He said, it is finished. Jesus didn't do 99%. And you have to kind of figure out the 1%. He didn't build the bridge halfway. No, Jesus did it all. It's done. And it cannot be undone. He did not pay it some. He paid it all. Because after making purifications for sins once and for all, he sat down. He sat down, meaning the work was completed. There was nothing left to do. My brother and sister, be reminded that there's nothing left to do. Like to have your sins forgiven. Christ has done it all. He's paid for your sin. He's reconciled you to God. He's restored you to God. Jesus' once and for all sacrifice fully satisfied God's justice and secured eternal redemption for all that would believe. Do not insult the sufficiency of Jesus' work by trying to add to it. Salvation is not due. Salvation screams done. I mean, honestly, what do you think you can even add to the finished work of Christ? What can you add to it that will make it better? It's finished and it's complete. No merit, no fruit, no striving, no performance, no self, no good work. Just Jesus and only Jesus for sinners. You're not saved by your merit. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to do something for Jesus to accept you. You just flee to the foot of the cross by faith. Because his death has opened a fountain for sin and uncleanness. And you can fly to that fountain and be saved and be forgiven. We do not live to earn his love. We live in response to it. Look to the cross of Christ. And that cross is actually the very grounds of assurance. The objective, finished work of Jesus Christ is your assurance of salvation. Because there is no sin that can undo what Jesus has already done. There is no sin that is more powerful than the cross. There's no sin that is greater than the grace of God. There is no sin that Jesus' blood cannot cover. So you run to Jesus by faith. You run to him. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you've been. You know the only qualification for you to come to Jesus? Because who did he die for? He died for sinners. So the only qualification for you to come is to ask yourself, am I a sinner? And if you're a sinner, Jesus will welcome you. And if you're a sinner, Jesus can pay for every sin. See, Jesus doesn't say, it's partly finished. He doesn't say keep striving. He says it is finished. Christ triumphed. He conquered sin and death. It's finished on the cross. So the question that bears, not for the believer in this room. The believer in this room just rejoices in the fact that God would love me in such a way that he would send his son for me. Now, I don't want to get over that. That God did not withhold his son from me. He sent his son and put him in my place and crushed him for my sin. That's how much God's love is fixed on me. But for the unbeliever, the question that bears to you even today, this moment, is do you believe Christ died for sinners? I hope that's a yes. But we're still not asking the right question. Do you believe Christ died for sinners? Yes. But now more personally, do you believe Christ died for you and for your sin? Was it his sin? Was it your sin that held him there? Is your name written in the book of life? Would you just see this great love? Would you see this great pardon? He says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. The one who laid down his life is calling you today. Would you hear his voice? I mean, I just wish I had the words. I know the Spirit of God has to open your eyes. But for the one that is not trusting in Jesus, who thinks like I'm too dirty or messed up or too sinful to come to Jesus, that's the whole point, is that we're all messed up and too sinful, and we come to Jesus by faith. And he dies, he cleanses, he washes. So would you just not but come? He will not cast you out. He will welcome you. Great is a welcome that you will receive. So come. The barrier between God and man has been removed. Christ's finished work has made a way into the presence of God to be reconciled and restored to him and to know him. Come to the cross. Come to the Savior. Lay your guilt and shame and sin at his feet and believe that he has died for you and believe that it is finished for you. Romans 3:25 reminds us that the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all that would believe. Would you believe that? And for those of us in Christ, be reminded. Just be reminded. You don't have to earn your salvation. Jesus has finished the work. You don't have to carry the weight of your guilt. Your debt is paid. You don't have to fear death. Christ has defeated it. And you don't have to wonder if God loves you. The cross is the proof of it. Today we rejoice in that cross. That it was finished. Redemption was accomplished, and through faith, redemption is applied. Your guilt at the cross, your guilt is finished. Your shame is finished. Your fear of judgment is finished. Your condemnation is finished. Your sin debt paid. Your status before God, righteous. Your sin may be many and great, but the payment made by Jesus outweighs them all. For where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So let this word ring in your soul. Tetelestai. It is finished. We need not add to the work. We rest in it. To the sinner, to the broken, to the hungry, to the thirsty, to the desperate. It is finished is a declaration from Jesus on the cross to you. It is not a partial payment. It is not a provisional pardon. It is not a temporary triumph. Full payment, full satisfaction, and complete victory. When Jesus hung on the cross and gave up his spirit before he said, "It is finished," what he meant by that is our debt is paid, our sentence is served, and our victory is won. Salvation, reconciliation, forgiveness, and new life have been fully accomplished in Christ. Nothing more to be added. Nothing remains undone. The work of redemption is complete. My brother and sister, remember, it really is finished.
Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.